Patrick, I found it. I thought somebody stole my doodad, but she was underneath. Reminds me of an old preacher one time. He kept his notes in a little deal, and there was a little hole in the pulpit, and it happened to fall in there, and he kept fishing for it for a while. Finally told the congregation, "Now, there's a good sermon in here if I can get it out." Well, that was about like this thing. This is a clicker that clicks our motion on our machine. And anyway, I really appreciated Brother David Hamrick being with us this morning. Of course, he's been with us for a number of years now, and this congregation has been supplying help to him and the work that he does, along with many others. And it's one of the most tremendous works that the body of Christ puts on. And we're so very glad that Brother David is involved with it. I've known David for probably 35 or 40 years at least. I remember I met him in a little town called Hubbard, Texas. And Hubbard is located between Waco and Corsicana. And I got to meet David up there, a long, long time ago, 35 years ago, I suppose. And it was just good. It's good to get to see him. David sure has changed, though. I've noticed that he's gray-headed now. And I'm still raving black-headed myself. But it's good to see him. My lesson tonight is very simple, actually. I remember when I started school, there were a lot of things I had to learn. Mom and Dad spoke okay. We all was able to speak. The only problem was I didn't know what a comma was. I didn't know what a explanation point was. I knew when somebody asked me a question, but I didn't know what it looked like. So all of those things, punctuation, that I had to learn. Explanation point. I didn't know what that was for. Colon, semicolon, all of that. You know, it was all new to me. The one that I learned perhaps quicker, and I've noticed that you can really get good lessons out of it, it's an explanation point or a question mark. And I've often thought about that maybe I would make some sermons up on punctuation found in the scripture. And it might be quite interesting. I wanted to look at one of those tonight, however, and that's all I'll spend my time with. And it's a question mark. We go to 1 Kings, the 10th chapter, and the first verse. It has to do with Solomon. And if you'll remember, the queen of the south, Queen Sheba, she had heard of Solomon's wisdom, and she couldn't believe it, the things that she had heard about it. Now, there's been a number of years gone on since he has become king. David died. That's his dad. That was in 1 Kings chapter 2. And in chapter 3, then, we're going to see Solomon taking the lead, chapters 2 and 3, of God's people. He reigned 7 years in Hebron, and then, of course, the kingdom, the headquarters was moved to Jerusalem, and he reigned there 33 years. If you figure it out, David was 30 years old when he began to reign as king. After the death of Saul, he was 33 years old. He reigned 40 years, 7 years in Hebron, 33 years in Jerusalem. You know what that would make him. David was a young man when he died. He was 70 or 71. Well, he reigned 40 years, and he began reigning when he was 30 and died. So about 71, we could probably say, would be the age of David. I do not and cannot give you the age of Solomon, however. I will tell you that when Solomon became king, that the record tells us that one time he decided, he and his people, we're going to make sacrifice to the Almighty. So they go to this certain place, Gibeon, And Gibeon had a great altar there unto the Lord. So they went to Gibeon and sacrificed 1,000 animals. Can you believe? 1,000 animals were sacrificed. And this was in honor of the Almighty. And Solomon wanted to show his devotion as his father was devoted to God. He wanted to be devoted as well. Now, that night, when Solomon went to sleep, the record says that the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Said to him, "Son, your father was very faithful to me, and if you'll be faithful to me, what is it that I can do for you? What is it that I can do?" He said, "Lord, you know that there's nobody like my daddy. You love David. David loved you. I want to be the same. But he was a very industrious man. He could do a lot of things. I'm just a kid. I can hardly go in and come out on my own. So really, what I would ask of you, Father, is you would give me an understanding heart so that I might be able to direct my people in a wise manner." And the Bible, the next verse says, "The Lord God was greatly moved by what Solomon said." And nobody twisted his arm. He said, give me understanding. Give me wisdom so I can rule this great people of thine. I'm just a kid." He used that phrase. He said, "I'm just a kid." So the Lord said to him, "Your wish is granted. There won't be anybody that's been before you nor after like you. I'll supply you wisdom. You'll be able to direct the people wisely. But because you didn't ask for it, I'm going to extend your life if you'll walk in my paths. And not only that, I'm going to make you a wealthy man. You'll have silver and gold." By the way, in the days of Solomon, did you know the Bible says that he ate with golden utensils and that the silver in the street was pebbles, just like rocks? That's how wealthy Jerusalem was. That's how wealthy Solomon was. By the way, Solomon had a fleet of ships that brought back laden down with gold and silver from mines. Y'all remember some of those old movies when we were kids called Solomon's Mines? Well, that's where it was taken from. Gold, there's no telling how many tons of gold came to Solomon. You can read about some of that in the scripture. God said, "Because you didn't ask for it, I'm going to make you a very wealthy man. And not only that, you will be held in honor. You follow my will, you're going to be held in honor." Well, now in his later years, Solomon did things he shouldn't have done, and it brought shame. It hurt him. It is my prayer that Solomon repented before he died. I don't know. But I do know that he left the Lord, and he served other gods, did things he shouldn't have done. Now, the queen of the south, sometime along during the first of his years as king, the queen of the south heard of the wisdom of Solomon. She couldn't believe it. So what she did, she had these wagons laden down with gold and silver and precious stones and all of that to go up and see Solomon. And in a caravan they went. And when they got there, she's introduced to Solomon. And by the way, in the scripture, 1 Kings 10:1, I think King James is unfortunate. I don't believe that she went up there to make a fool out of Solomon. But if you read it, it sounds like she went up there to really poke him with questions, to really see if he knew what he thought he knew, things like that. But actually, the word in the American Standard, I believe, is tested him. She wanted to see if what she had heard was right. So what happened? So as you read there in that 10th chapter, she went up to test him with words or prove him with words, questions, it says. And all of those questions, she had them answered. farther than her thoughts could even carry her. So she turns around and she makes a statement about Solomon herself. She said, a thousand of what I've been told doesn't even fit the category you're in. There's never been anyone like you that I've ever known of. And you've answered every question, everything that I could pose to you, you answered it. And old Solomon's wisdom and his grandeur was known throughout the then known world. I have labeled this lesson, however, the most important question. And I told you to begin with that these punctuation marks, as we learned them in school and as we grew to use them, they mean more and more to us. But have you ever noticed the questions? The Bible has exclamation points. It has emphasis. It has questions. So as you look at them, I just picked out a few. For instance, in Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? Or is that it? Uncle Willie Gillum lived on the hill other side of me. I was talking to one of the young ladies back here before the service, and we were going over. She was reared not too far from where I was at over there in East Texas, around Kaufman, Maybank back there. Anyway, had a man on the hill over there other side of us, Uncle Willie Gillum. And I just respected him. He was a very... He just knew things. So I'd go up there and talk to him. And we were talking about the good Lord. And he made a statement that hurt me real bad. Because it wasn't long after that, Uncle Willie died. And Uncle Willie laughed and said, Dan, there is no God. Just hear me. There is no God. This is a bunch of foolishness. And when you die, you're just like a dog. You just rot. That's it. In fact, I have told my wife, take me over in the back 40 and just throw me out. Of course, she didn't do that. But according to Uncle Willie, if a man die, shall he live again? Job, a very wise man in his day, is asking that question. He'll answer it. He goes on and says, oh, yes. And I'm waiting for that day as others are. He will call and I will answer. He'll have a desire unto the work of his hands. So yes, live again. 1 Kings 18:21 comes from Elijah. Remember the prophet went up against the prophets of Baal. And he said to Israel, if Baal be God, then serve him. But if the Lord God of Jehovah is God, then serve him. Why, here's the question, are you halting between two opinions? Yeah, make up your mind. It's either the God of heaven or it's Baal. Genesis 3 and verse 9, God asked Adam, where art thou? Now you talk about a good lesson. There it is. There's a question. And we could spend a long time on that. Where art thou? So the Lord asked Adam that. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 42. The Pharisees always on to Christ, trying to trick him with questions. He said, let me ask you a question. Christ, whose son is he? And they said, oh, well, David's son. You're just another one of us. You're David's son. To which Christ replied, why then did David in the Spirit refer to him as his Lord? They couldn't ask him another question. Who is Christ? 1 Peter 4 and verse 18, if judgment begins with the house of God, what shall be the end of those who obey not the gospel? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? What a question. What's going to happen? And Mark 8 and verse 36. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The question is often asked, how much did he leave behind? David brought that out this morning real good, didn't he? He left it all. How much do we leave behind? Well, by the way, it's not anything wrong with having. I have and you have. The Lord blessed Solomon. He's one of the richest men who ever lived. It's not, though, a question of how much we're going to leave behind. The important question is not about here, but hereafter. There's where the important question is. So go back to Acts 2:37 and Acts 9:6. On the day of Pentecost, what was the question that they asked of Simon Peter and the apostles? Men and brethren, what? What must we do? In Acts 9 and verse 6, Saul of Tarsus asked the Lord, what must I do? The greatest question, folks, that confronts any of us, and there are many questions, but the most important is, what must I do? Here's something to contemplate. Are you in Christ? There's a good question. Are you in Christ? What does it make any difference? Because redemption's in Christ. Ephesians 1:7. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Reconciliation to God is in Christ. Romans 5:10. And your salvation is located only in Christ. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. Why is it important then to be in Christ? Well, that answers it. But Acts 4:11, 12 says, this is the stone which was set at naught of builders and has become the head of the corner. There is salvation nowhere else except in the name of Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot come to the Father except by me. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever will believe upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All these things are located in Christ. Are ye in Christ? How do I get into Christ? Well, it depends on the desire that I have to please God. Now, you can listen to preachers all day long. You can listen to your mother, your dad, your grandma, grandpa. When it really boils down to it, who is it we must please? Again, David pointed that out over and over this morning. The Lord. The Almighty, the one that made us, the one that sustains us. So, the question depends on how true your desire to please God is. When the gospel was first preached, what were the people told to do? They asked the question, what must we do? What were they told? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. That's what they were told to do. Has the gospel been changed? Is it right to change the gospel? Is it right to add to the Word of God or take away from the Word of God? You guys know that. You probably know the scripture. That's Revelation 22, 18, 19. You are not to add to the Word of God, nor are you to take away from the Word of God. Or I'll add the plagues to you. That's what he said. Gospel hadn't been changed. What must we do? Repent and be baptized. Acts 22:16, and now Saul asks a question in Acts 9:6. What do I have to do? He is now told, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and your sins will be washed away. Acts 18 and verse 8. The gospel is preached, Corinth, and the Bible says many of the Corinthians heard the word of God, turned to the Lord, were baptized. Again, the question's asked, has the gospel been changed? If it has, who did it? Who had the right to change what God said? They wanted the answer. God gave them the answer. By the way, you should note that we need to be in Christ. That's what we're talking about for salvation. There's only two verses in the Bible that tell you how to get into Christ. Right? And both of them say that we're baptized into Christ. Did you know that? Do you know the reason that a lot of preachers tell people they don't have to be baptized? To court their favor. To do what they want. But where do they have the authority to change the Word of God? Who has all authority in heaven and in earth? Matthew 28:18-20. Christ. What did He say to do? Go and teach all nations. Do what? Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then teach them to observe all things that I've said. I'll be with you even to the end of the world. If you truly believe, then you'll obey. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, as I said, it's a very simple lesson, but I hope that it'll encourage you and it may help you as you talk to others concerning their soul salvation. If you're not a child of God, why are you delaying? Obey Him. Just do it. Please the Lord. He's the one that needs to be pleased. It's not for Dan Carter. It's not for Boris Edwards. It's for Jesus Christ. So you make up your mind tonight. If you're not obeyed Him, you do it. You come down the aisle, give me your hand, give God your heart. Obey your Lord. If you drifted away from Him, come back home. We'll pray with you and for you to the throne of grace. If you'd like to place membership, you can do that. Will you come? All together we stand and sing.